The Presentation in the Temple. May 27, 1900. Typed. At the appointed time after the birth of Christ, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem, to present him to the Lord, and to offer sacrifice. This was according to the Jewish law, and as man's substitute, Christ must conform to the law. As an offering for the firstborn son, the law required the lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. But the law provided that if the parents were too poor to bring a lamb, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, one for burnt offering and the other for a sin offering, would be accepted. The offerings presented to the Lord were to be without blemish. These offerings represented Christ, and from this it is evident that the Savior was without physical infirmity. His physical structure was not marred by any defect. His body was strong and healthy. And throughout his lifetime, he lived in conformity to nature's laws, practicing temperance in all things. Physically, as well as spiritually, he was all that God designed humanity should be if in obedience to his laws. The law for the presentation of the firstborn was a significant one. When the children of Israel were in bondage to the Egyptians, the Lord commanded Moses to go to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and say, "Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn." Exodus 4, verse 22-23. Moses delivered his message, but the proud king's answer was, "Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Exodus 5, verse 2. By signs and wonders the Lord worked for his people, sending terrible judgments upon the land of Egypt. And while suffering, Pharaoh would appear to concede to the Lord's demands. But no sooner was he free from the plague than his stubbornness increased, and again he set himself in rebellion against the God of heaven. At length, the destroying angel was bidden to slay the firstborn of man and beast among the Egyptians. The Israelites were directed to place upon their doorposts the blood of a slain lamb. Every house was to be marked, that when the angel came on his mission of death, he would pass over the homes of the Israelites. After sending this judgment upon Egypt, the Lord said to Moses, "Sanctify unto me the firstborn, both of man and beast. It is mine." Exodus 13, verse 2. On the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel. Mine they shall be. I am the Lord. Numbers 3, verse 13. Therefore, the law for the presentation of the firstborn was peculiarly significant, for it was a memorial of the Lord's wonderful deliverance of the children of Israel, which prefigured a greater deliverance, to be wrought out by the only begotten Son of God. The blood sprinkled on the doorposts represented the blood of Christ, which alone has power to save the world. What a wonderful meaning, then, was attached to Christ's presentation. But the priest did not see through the veil. He did not read the mysteries beyond. The presentation of infants was a common scene. Day after day, the priest received the redemption money as the babes were presented to the Lord. He went through the routine of his work, paying no particular attention to either parents or children, unless the appearance of the parents and the value of their offering showed them to be of high rank. Joseph and Mary were poor. They could bring only the offering provided for the poorer class. When they came with their child, the priest saw only a man and woman, dressed as Galileans and in the humblest garments. There was nothing in their appearance to attract attention, and they presented only the offering made by the poorer classes. The priest went through the ceremony of his official work. He took the child in his arms, and after handing it back to its mother, he inscribed the name Jesus on the roll of the firstborn of Israel. Little did he think, as the babe lay in his arms, that it was the majesty of heaven, the King of glory. Little did he think, as he took the redemption money, that it was for the Redeemer, he who was to pay the ransom for the sins of the world. He did not realize that the babe was the one of whom Moses had written, "A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you, of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear." Acts 3, verse 22. He did not realize that this babe was the one whose glory Moses had asked to see. But a greater than Moses lay in the priest's arms, and when he enrolled the child's name, he was enrolling the name of one who was the foundation of the whole Jewish economy. That name was to be its death warrant, for the system of sacrifice and offerings was waxing old. The type had almost reached its antitype, the shadow its substance. When Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to the temple, he was only an infant of a few weeks. But he was also the Ancient of Days, whose goings forth have been from of old, even from everlasting. He was indeed the long-expected Messiah, of whom the Jews had read, "The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple." Malachi 3, verse 1. To the Pharisees, Christ afterward declared, "Before Abraham was, I am." John 8, verse 58. He is the head of an unchangeable priesthood, the only true high priest over the house of God. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. In the temple, the Son of God was dedicated to the work he had come to do. The priest looked upon him as he would upon any other child. But though he neither felt nor saw anything unusual, God's act in giving his Son to the world did not pass unacknowledged. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Luke 2, verse 25-26. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. Verse 27. As Simeon enters the temple, he sees a family presenting their firstborn son before the priest. Their appearance bespeaks poverty, but Simeon understands the warnings of the Spirit, and he is deeply impressed that the infant being dedicated to the Lord is the consolation of Israel, the one he has longed to see. To the astonished priest, Simeon appears like a man enraptured. The child has been returned to Mary, and he takes it in his arms and presents it to God, while a joy that he has never felt before enters his soul. As he lifts the infant Savior toward heaven, he says, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." Verses 29-32. The spirit of prophecy came upon this man of God, and while Joseph and Mary stood by, wondering at the words spoken, he blessed them and said to Mary, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Verses 34-35. Anna also, a prophetess, came in and confirmed Simeon's testimony concerning Christ. As Simeon spoke, her face lighted up with the glory of God, and she poured out her heartfelt thanks that she had been permitted to behold Christ. These humble worshippers had not studied the prophecies in vain. But those who held positions as rulers and priests in Israel, though they too had before them the precious utterances of prophecy, were not walking in the way of the Lord, and their eyes were not open to behold the light of life.
Mary pondered the broad, far-reaching prophecy of Simeon. As she looked upon the child in her arms and recalled the words spoken by the shepherds of Bethlehem and the adoration of the wise men, she was full of grateful joy and bright hope. Simeon's words called to her mind the prophetic utterances of Isaiah. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Isaiah 11, verse 1, 2, 5. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9, verse 2, 6.